In Flanders Fields by John McCrae. In Flanders Fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt, drawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. Today we gather in remembrance for the 99th time in recognition of the first armistice signed 100 years ago today. The armistice was greeted with a collective sigh of relief. It was the war to end all wars. People cheered, cried, and hugged. At last the killing was to stop. No more war. Please God, no more war. The underlying message of In Flanders Fields, which we just heard. World War I was a wake-up call for Western Europe and the nations drawn into the war by colonial alliances such as Canada. The war affected many families directly and all of Canada indirectly. Our village sent over an amazing number of people, considering the size of Agassiz at the time, and sadly it lost 13 sons. In my own family, my uncle fought, was gassed, and came home. He died when I was 5. All I remember was his constant coughing. A distant relative, George Price, was the last Canadian to die in the war, being shot 2 minutes before the armistice came into effect 100 years ago today. Today we honor all the sacrifice and service of Canadians in all the wars and in all the services, as well as the sacrifice of our families. The families of the deceased still ask, why does it happen? We want our country to be free, for all people to live and act in freedom, but why do we get into these terrible situations? Canadian war hysteria and Margaret McMillan notes that before the first war, there was a tone that the war would be an easy and quick excursion, about 6 months. She notes in her research that the Boer War in South Africa, the war in India, and some other efforts by the British were relatively easy and quick, allowing for a false confidence to arise in the minds of the ruling class and lulled the fighting class to take an easy win for granted. War was seen before the First War to be a place of gallantry and a way for men to prove their mettle. There was no concept in the minds of the general public of the fierce impact of the war machine and its advances. Those who did know about it kept it to themselves. As the war continued, the mounting deaths, soldiers developed what we call today PTSD. The soldiers were traumatized as the reality of the truth of war was realized. They were called cowards, and these suffering people were shot and killed by their comrades in arms. The end of the First War could not come too soon. The year after the armistice, cenotaph sprouted up around Canada. People began to gather on the day of the armistice to grieve and remember. Tombs to the unknown soldier were constructed as families needed a place to grieve because their sons, husbands, fathers, and mothers' bodies had been so destroyed in battle there was nothing left to bury. Their remembrance was a time of grief until the 1930s. Margaret McMillan notes in her writings that about 1935 there was a change as fears of another war were on the horizon. Remembrance Day, a place of grief, gradually became a celebration of battles fought and won. there was a development of the glorification of war. It became more common to see war as a way of improving the economy after the Depression. This was especially true in the Maritimes, based on letters to the editor of the local papers at that time. World War II was a direct result of mistakes made 21 years earlier with the armistice and the punishing war reparations placed on the Germans, as well as the instability of Europe as a whole. Instability seems to need a scapegoat. 80 years ago this past week, we remembered Kristallnacht, when German synagogues across Germany, Austria, and Czechoslovakia were burnt and all the glass broken. It was the start of the Holocaust, where 6 million civilians were murdered as sacrificial scapegoats for the extreme nationalists we called Nazis. Thankfully, finally, at the end of World War II, we didn't insist on reparations, but instead developed the Marshall Plan and the United Nations, and eventually the European Common Market, and today the European Community. We had an idea of global needs, needing global responses. Sadly, this insight is currently under attack today. As thinking people and folks who practice a variety of faith expression, it is my belief that God the Creator inspired the development of cenotaphs as a focal point for grief. They should remind us of the pain and futility of war, all war. There is no lasting glory in war. Sadly, the war to end all wars, World War I, did not teach us enough. World War I was fought with compressed dynamite and hand-to-hand fighting and gas. Today we have remote-controlled drones killing people. The soldiers who do the killing in front of a video screen are still being impacted by the killing, still getting PTSD, but at least they're not being killed by their comrades due to their illnesses. Let today be a day when we remember the tragedy of war, the waste of humans, and the destruction of resources. As we stand at our Agassiz cenotaph, I invite you, as the wreaths are being placed, to think about how we can prevent more death, loss, and grief. I pray that God will inspire us, especially the young, to come to new solutions as we work for peace. I thank the servant personnel for their sacrifice and our fight for freedom. But I ask in the name of the love of God, is this making war to settle disputes the best we can do? Is war God's plan for the planet? What have we learned in 100 years? What will happen in the next 100 years? Can we learn from our mistakes? May God bless us and inspire us as we move forward. Amen.